Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Paul from Your World Discovered, reporting from EPN News. The Lost American is produced by David Yu, one of UN Prime Company and Forest Academy. President Ronald Reagan is quoted as saying, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." This lecture album was written in 5 hours on Monday, June 8, 2015 from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. It was done as part of the author as Time with the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this message that this lecture album offers to people wanting to understand and do the right thing. I pray this lecture album reaches the eyes of those who want to see. This lecture album is for those who know that gay marriage is not what God intended, but did not know how to explain why. Here you will find just a few guiding tips that help solidify understanding of the truth. God tries to tell us what is right and wrong. We as people don't always do what is right. This lecture album helps to guide the way. For those who do know how God considers gay marriage, this lecture album can provide a small resource to some answers people may ask. This lecture album doesn't have every single quote from a founding father who followed God. It also doesn't have 100% of the scriptures that talks about the horrors of gay marriage. But it has enough to prove that gay marriage is not what God intended and it is a shameful act. Premise. Today, we live in a strange country. Imagine a bucket list of things to do. Some people have lost priorities, for example winning a gold medal at the Olympics and changing your gender. And that is just one person. We seem to live in a confused society, where gender and how it is defined under God's purpose has been misunderstood. Years ago, gay marriage was not an accepted thing, as it was not considered right under God. Today, what God thinks has been put aside, and other lower priority issues such as people's rights and economics has been put higher than the Word of God. This lecture album is not intended to condemn people. It is intended to understand how this country was founded with the guidance of God. That being said, God's guidance was given great importance and relevance to how the people in America are to behave. The Bible provides understanding of what is right and wrong. The scriptures are clear. Any disagreement is not against the author of this lecture album, but against the Word of God. So in this lecture album, we will talk about how God was used in the foundation of the United States and then what God has to say about gay marriage. This lecture album is strong, but not all-inclusive, supporting evidence that gay marriage is not in the best interest of this nation, for people, and God's purpose. That being said, don't be a hater. Before returning the lecture album, hear the facts. What did the nation's founding father say about God? What does the Bible say in the scriptures? If we are against the scriptures, then we are not against this lecture album, but rather against God. Is it in the best interest to be against God? Not for this nation. Our nation has been successful since it as foundation. That is changing as the world is changing. If we as a nation continue to turn our backs against God, then our greatness will be no more, as we will lose favor from God. Again, hear out the arguments. Know what the founding fathers of America said. Be educated as to what the scriptures say. Know the facts, and then decide. Introduction. This lecture album was produced in one shot on June 8, 2015 so that could voice an opinion before the Supreme Court makes a ruling on gay marriage nationally. The Supreme Court has not put their final vote on gay marriage for the United States, and I thought it would be best to share my opinion that is unswayed by any vote. It is a controversial subject, and has been for many years in my home state of Massachusetts, the first state in the Union to approve gay marriage. David Yu once recognized the controversy and the uncomfortable conversations that the discussion of gay marriage brings up. I've been watching it on TV and hearing about it on radio long before most of the nation has. Being in Massachusetts, the gay marriage issue was brought up many years ago. Although this lecture album is based on the national issue, it is important to talk about the foundation of legalizing gay marriage. Gay marriage was approved in Massachusetts in 2005. 9 years later, The issue is now being brought up to the Supreme Court. The issue surrounding gay marriage has been brought up in the news based on human rights and economic impact. Rarely does the issue come up in the news to indicate if this is what God wants. The legalization of gay marriage in states has been talked about in churches, but because of separation of church and state, ministers have the rare opportunity to discuss political implications. That is not their place. Ministers of the Word guide us through an anointed ability to understand the Bible. The Bible is the set of instructions and collection of wisdom that God wants us to have. It is a good thing to have, because God wants only what is best for us. When our nation was founded, it was built on the principles that God has put forth to become a great nation. That is why the United States of America is a great nation. Our founding is based on God. Foundation of our country, the United States does mention the word Lord in the United States Constitution. In Article 7 of the United States Constitution, it reads the year of our Lord 1787. As part of the indication of the date, there is a clear recognition of the Lord by remembering when our great nation was founded. To create the Constitution, there was clear thought as to how it would be written and recorded. The indication of the year, which is lasting and critical for records. To use the phrase, the year of our Lord. Did you notice, it says our Lord. That means the nation is being built under one God, our Lord. Bibles approved for schools beyond the support of United States presidents, Congress acted to approve the use of the Bible in schools. The Congresses of 1782 printed the Bible and is quoted as saying, the United States in Congresses assembled, recommend this edition of the Bible to the inhabitants of the United States. A neat edition of the Holy Scriptures for the use of schools? The Congresses of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools. In God We Trust, about 82 years after Bibles were approved to be used in schools, the Congresses of 1864 adds the motto In God We Trust to coinage in the United States. President Dwight Eisenhower on July 30, 1956 declared In God We Trust the national motto of the United States. This put God in everyone's pocket and included in the commerce of the United States. Business runs on money and God's name was on it. That put God above business enterprises and the commerce that ran the nation. Pledge of Allegiance, when I went to kindergarten in the 1960s and grew up through high school in the early 1980s, I remember every day pledging to the flag. At the start of the school day, all students would stand facing the American flag with our right hand over our hearts and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Remember that this pledge was said daily with all lines ingrained in our memory. This also follows the granting of Bible in schools in 1782. The United States Congresses adopted the Pledge of Allegiance in 1942 with the official name, the Pledge of Allegiance adopted in 1945. This pledge originated in the previous century and was quite common. It was originally composed by Francis Bellamy in 1892. The Pledge of Allegiance reads, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Did you notice the part about one nation under God? It was Louis Albert Bowman from Illinois to initiate the addition of under God to the pledge. The phrase under God was added to the Pledge of Allegiance on June 14, 1954 by order of Congress. It was done by a joint session of Congress. Where is God? God is in our schools, on our money, and part of our freedom of speech. God is also ingrained in the founding of our nation. This is evident in quotes from founding fathers, former presidents, and notable spokespersons. What is included in this lecture album is only the beginning, but just enough to show evidence that God is of great importance to our nation's existence. George Washington said it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and Bible. Our first president, George Washington, is quoted as saying, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And in the Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1789, who was quoted as saying, We beseech God to pardon our national and other transgressions. A prayer by our first president George Washington is recorded as, O, eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit. Daily, frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear, and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Bless, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ. John Adams. John Adams was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, one of the two signers of the Bill of Rights, and the second President of the United States. As the second President of the United States, John Adams wrote on June 28, 1813 from Quincy, Massachusetts. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed, and now believe, that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. In a diary entry for July 26, 1796, John Adams writes, "The Christian religion is, above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity and humanity." John Adams wrote on December 25, 1813 in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, "I have examined all religions, as well as my narrow sphere, my straitened means, and my busy life, would allow, and the result is that the Bible is the best lecture album in the world. It contains more philosophy than all the libraries I have seen." John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams was the sixth President of the United States. In The Writing of Life of John Quincy Adams by W. H. Seward, Editor, Auburn, N.Y., Derby, Miller & Company, 1849, the former president is quoted as saying, "The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Isaiah 52:10. John Hancock. Although Massachusetts was the first to adopt and legalize gay marriage, the first governor of Massachusetts would have been against it. John Hancock is quoted as saying that all may bow to the scepter of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that the whole earth may be filled with his glory. John Hancock, as governor of Massachusetts, 1791. Other quotes from John Hancock include, "The interposition of divine providence in our favor hath been most abundantly and most graciously manifested, and the citizens of these United States have every reason for praise and gratitude to the God of their salvation. In circumstances dark as these, it becomes us, as men and Christians, to reflect that, whilst every prudent measure should be taken to ward off the impending judgments, all confidence must be withheld from the means we use, and reposed only on that God, who rules in the armies of heaven, and without whose blessing the best human counsels are but foolishness, and all created power vanity." Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence is remembered every year on July 4th. It is such an important part of our nation's history, and therefore needs to be better understood. The Declaration of Independence has five references to God. There are two in the first paragraph, one in the middle, and two in the last. One reference reads, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In this passage, the laws of nature is governed by God. Also, nature's God refers to the God that nature follows. The passage describes that God is in full control of what happens in nature. God is referred to in the second paragraph via the word creator. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness? The final two references of God are found in the last paragraph. God is referred to as the Supreme Judge of the world. The passage reads, "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name, and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare, that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown." The final reference has to do with divine protection that God offers. This is what divine providence refers to. The passage reads, "Therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name, and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare, that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown." Benjamin Franklin. In colonial times, the hand of God was called Providence. Benjamin Franklin was convinced that God's hand was involved with the birth of our nation. He is quoted as saying, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" Two other quotes are below. In a letter to William Stratton, August 19, 1784, "My dear friend, do not imagine that I am vain enough to ascribe our success revolution to any superiority. If it had not been for the justice of our cause, and the consequent interposition of Providence, in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. If I had ever before been an atheist, I should now have been convinced of the being and government of a deity." On the impact of independence on generations of Americans during the Constitutional Convention, "I must own I have so much faith in the general government of the world by Providence, that I can hardly conceive a transaction of such momentous importance to the welfare of millions now existing, and to exist in the posterity of a great nation, should be suffered to pass without being in some degree influenced, guided, and governed by that omnipotent, omnipresent, and beneficent ruler." Benjamin Franklin is quoted as saying at the Constitutional Convention, on Thursday, June 28, 1787, "In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. Do we imagine we no longer need his assistance?" The Gettysburg Address. President Abraham Lincoln read the Gettysburg Address in Pennsylvania on November 19, 1863. The final sentence refers to our nation under God. 67 years ago our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field, as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But, in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate. We cannot consecrate. We cannot hallow. This ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work, which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us. That from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause, for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. President Franklin Pierce related to David Uwen. David Uwen, the author of this lecture album, is a descendant of President Franklin Pierce, who talked about God's protection in 1855 in a State of the Union address on December 31st. He said, "I rely confidently on the patriotism of the people, on the dignity and self-respect of the states, on the wisdom of Congress, and, above all, on the continued gracious favor of Almighty God, to maintain against all enemies, whether at home or abroad, the sanctity of the Constitution and the integrity of the Union." President John F. Kennedy. President John F. Kennedy quotes Abraham Lincoln during a campaign speech. If quoting then John F. Kennedy stands behind the words of President Lincoln, in a campaign very much like this one, 100 years ago, when the issues were the same, Abraham Lincoln wrote to a friend, "I know there is a God, and I know He hates injustice. I see the storm coming, and I know His hand is in it. But if He has a place and a part for me, I believe that I am ready." Now, 100 years later, when the issue is still freedom or slavery, we know there is a God and we know He hates injustice. We see the storm coming, and we know His hand is in it. But if He has a place and a part for me, I believe that we are ready. In President John F. Kennedy's inaugural address in 1961, he says, "The world is very different now, and yet the same revolutionary beliefs, for which our forebears fought, are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state but from the hand of God." President Ronald Reagan, a former Hollywood actor, governor of California, and president of the United States, talked about the importance of God's role in our nation. President Ronald Reagan said, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." This sounds like he is also making reference to the Pledge of Allegiance that reads, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." What does the Bible say? The Bible clearly says that a union of persons is between a man and a woman, and that men with men or women with women is shameful and a sin. I am the messenger in sharing what God has presented in His Word in the Bible. As messenger, I share that as author of this lecture album, I am also in agreement and obedient to His Word. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, New King James Version, God created man and woman. That means a man is a man and a woman is a woman. They are two different entities that are joined together to become one. Male and female are intended to be joined together. The scripture does not indicate same genders be joined. There is no reference to man with man or woman with woman. The Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 25 talks about God's plan for sexuality and marriage. Take a look at this scripture, the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. New King James Version. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone, I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Later, Jesus taught us what was written in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. From the book of Matthew, chapter 19 verse 4. New King James Version. And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he, who made them at the beginning, made them male and female?" From the book of Mark, chapter 10 verse 6. New King James Version. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. The Bible makes it clear that homosexuality or the act of sodomites is not made for a righteous person. It is considered against the purpose of God. Here are three references in the Bible that show homosexual acts by sodomites is an unnatural occurrence and contrary to God's purpose. A marriage that involves same-sex union is not a godly marriage. If God intended both heterosexual and homosexual marriage, He would have designed our bodies to allow reproduction in a natural way. God's plan is for multiplication. Gay unions and marriages do not support that plan. The three scriptures that describe the shameful act of same-sex union are found in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, New King James Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, New King James Version, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, New King James Version. From the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, New King James Version, the scripture reads as follows: "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even a woman exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due." From the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, New King James Version. The scripture reads as follows: "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." From the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, New King James Version. From the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, New King James Version. The scripture reads as follows: "Knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, shame on you. Shame on the churches, government leaders, politicians, respected celebrities, and notable public figures that approve gay unions and gay marriage." This lecture album shows that our founding fathers relied on the Word of God and that gay behavior is against His purpose. To say we are in changing times goes against the consistent Word of our Lord. Our God operates under a promise He made that never changes. We as people can change, as long as we don't fall away from the Word of God. So to the churches, politicians, and respected celebrities, shame on you. How to learn more? You are encouraged to join a Christian Bible-based church that offers Bible study classes and weekly sermons that provide a good learning experience. It is highly suggested that you buy a Bible in a Christian store or go online. Learning with People: a congregation of people who learn from each other and enjoy each other as company is called fellowship. Engage in fellowship activities that involve meeting with Christians who follow the Word of God. This will help transition you away from sin and toward the purpose of God. When you do this, you will also find God as purpose in your life. Do this under the guidance of a Christian Bible-based church. Conclusion: I conclude what I wrote earlier and find appropriate in closing. President Ronald Reagan said, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." May God bless you, and may God bless America, the lost American, losing God as favor, by David Ewen.